Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.
Todd never sugarcoats it. Does he tell it straight? You bet. Does he deliver with a sense of humor? Always.
I always start my Sunday mornings off listening to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. It has tons of information, and he has such a great sense of humor.
My friends and I always tune in to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Hold on tight. Don't let go. It's time for the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I'm yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting once again from the mothership in the middle of the mitten, pure Michigan baby. I'm born in a D, Berkeley High, class of 83. Beautiful day, nutrients everywhere, in studio, at the controls, with my good friend Craig Russell from the Morning Hustle. 7 days a week now, Craig.
Actually, 8 days a week. I don't know if you were aware.
Is there a song, 8 days a week?
There is, by the Beatles.
By the Beatles.
8 days a week, I love you.
I don't know.
I don't know what this means.
8 days a week. No, I can't.
Sure, I care.
Hey, well, yeah, what is it? You're playing with Walter White.
What's
Bob
a bad omen?
What happened?
Walter White's head fell off.
That's because when...
I don't know if that's a good sign or not.
Well, when Big Hair was on the show last week, by the way, shout out to Big Hair.
Hey, what's going on there, Jerry?
Yeah, great show, a lot of feedback, and everyone kept asking who's Big Hair. He'll be back on the show if you missed it, though. But hey, listen, we opened the show today, again, unfortunately, with another rock star gone too soon. Tom Petty, we played The Waiting.
Yes. It's the waiting is the hardest part.
Yeah. The waiting is the hardest part.
Yeah. I'm not singing anymore.
Every day you see one more card, you take it on faith. Remember
you
the words?
Take it to the heart. The waiting is the hardest part. Sad, very sad. Gone
very
way
sad.
Too soon. You know, they just wrapped up like less than a week ago their 40th anniversary tour at the Hollywood Bowl, and he very prophetically said, this is probably going to be our last tour. I can't see us. We're all in the upper ends of the 60s. We're probably never going to tour again. And like 3 days later, he's dead. I mean, that's going out. It's going out with a bang.
I'm not even going to list all our heroes, going back to David Bowie, even George Michael, Prince.
Everybody who we've lost recently. It's just been crazy.
Yeah. And we're just going to say this, and we won't say anything else. Our thoughts and prayers go out to all the families suffering, the victims of the Vegas massacre.
Yeah.
And all the fellow American citizens down in Puerto Rico.
Yep, who are still struggling with no power, no anything.
Houston, Florida, the islands, Virgin Islands.
It's been a rough couple of months, man.
It has, but we're a law show, and I am attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting from the mothership. People ask, do I practice? Of course I practice. I'm a criminal defense attorney.
Oh, yeah.
I specialize in everything. And this is not a solicitation, but people ask me,
sure.
So I'll just say it. I'm a criminal defense attorney, have been for 23 years. I practiced the first 12 years in Oakland County, all over Metro D, before moving up here to mid-Michigan. And I do practice from Mount Pleasant all the way to the far reaches of the state of Superior, otherwise known as the UP.
You drive more than anybody I know. You've got to have 185,000 miles in that car. Yours.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But we have a huge show.
Big show.
We have a lot to get to. We're going to have two LARA updates.
Get out of here.
No, we have two LARA updates, which is the Department of Licenses and Regulatory Affairs. We have some regulation updates that were put forth by LARA.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about that. One of them is regarding stacking of Class C grower licenses.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about that in the show. And I will get to it, folks, because
I
have it right here.
Yeah.
We're also going to be talking about another advisory bulletin regarding co-location of medical marijuana facilities.
Ooh,
so co-location and stacking of licenses. We also have a story. There's a Senate bill, 594, that's being introduced by the Senate Majority Leader, Alan Meekoff. This bill would create a private police force. So municipalities could choose to hire a private police force.
Really?
Yeah. It's. I'll just say this right. I have a few talking points and pros and cons. I'm against it.
Yeah, that sounds weird.
Yeah.
It sounds like anything you need.
Yeah. And we have a question from a good friend, Joan.
Okay.
I'll just say Joan.
Okay.
Can you say the name Joan?
Joan.
Joan listens to the show. She knows who she is.
All right.
Her question is, this is a great question.
Okay.
What happens if a mother gives birth to a baby?
All right.
What else would a mother be giving birth to?
I hope just a baby. Maybe a food company.
Both the mother and child test positive for THC.
Because the mother has it in her system?
Correct.
Legally?
Yes.
Ooh.
The mother is a card holder. The question, there's two questions. Does Child Protective Services come into play? And is the mother facing any criminal charges? Now, recall, under the Medical Marijuana Act, you have immunity. It's not legal. Cannabis in Michigan is not legal yet. It will be hopefully in a year.
Right.
But all the act does is provide immunity.
So I would still think that Child Protective Services definitely would get involved. I don't necessarily know if any criminal liability would come against her, but I definitely think CPS may do an investigation. They might not find anything.
I have an answer.
Okay.
We're going to get to the answer coming up in the show.
Oh, okay.
So we have some really good topics to get to.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about the updates on the regulatory issues regarding cannabis in the state of Michigan. We're going to talk about whether or not a private police force is even warranted and what some of the cons and the pros. There may be no pros. There may be some. There's always two sides. We're going to talk about whether or not a medical marijuana card holder who gives birth to an infant, what else would she be giving birth to? You know, and what are the ramifications with THC in the baby's bloodstream? But before we do that, I have an issue.
Really?
This is just bothersome.
Okay.
I'm at the grocery store.
Sure.
I'm ready to check out.
You do a lot of shopping.
I'm always shopping.
I know you are.
Well, do you eat out all the time?
Most of it.
Yeah, I shop.
No, I try not to.
Yeah, I shop.
Okay.
I eat out also.
All right.
I'm in line.
Okay.
I'm the second person in line.
All right.
So you would think I would be right on the conveyor belt, ready to put my stuff up.
Sure.
Not happening.
Okay.
The lady, nice lady, she was very nice, who had a full cart, she's checking out. And she had with her three or four other individuals.
Okay.
That were just with her. And they're taking up most of the lane behind her along the conveyor belt.
Okay.
Now the belt has moved. This is the middle of the day. I need to get going. I'm just shopping at lunchtime. And I just wanted to say something to these people. Can you please move ahead of this nice lady who's checking out that you're with so that I can start to put my stuff on the conveyor belt?
Okay.
They did not move.
Did you say that?
Well, what happened was I grabbed the space divider.
Right. Okay. The little
and
stick.
I mean, but there's people. I said, excuse me. And I put it forward. They still did not move. So what would you do in that circumstance?
I'd start punching. No, I'm kidding. I would not start doing it. I would say, excuse me, can I start? Yeah, I would do exactly what you said. I would say, can I move up here and start putting my stuff on?
Well, that's what I did.
Yeah.
They didn't move. They waited for the lady checking out who they were with, and they were some kind of group of ladies. And here's the thing, but for their age, because it was obvious they were like, you know, the red hat ladies.
Yep.
They were like red hat ladies.
Okay.
They may not have been red hat ladies, but they were a group of ladies. They could have arrived on a bus, a tour bus, going to the casinos.
Yeah.
I just said, you know what? What's the rush? But my point is, folks, if you're with a group of people and you're shopping, move your people out of the way.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question. Is it possible they didn't hear you? Is it possible they were older and maybe their hearing's going, maybe they didn't hear you?
They saw
you
me.
Were,
no,
they were
saw
very
me.
Clear.
No, they
and
saw
then,
me. Then because one of them said, I really like your pink tie. I had a pink tie and shirt on.
Oh, okay.
So, and that in itself, I traded the compliment for asking them to move after that point. What am I going to do?
For the lack of their candor.
Yeah.
For the lack of their moving on. But this gets to a bigger issue. Are you the kind of person who, in that situation, will cause a scene? Like something like that?
No,
see,
no.
See, and I'm not either.
I'm too nice. What are you going to do at the end? But the
Same
point
here.
Is, it was still annoying, but that's just a situation. A lot of things annoy us in life. But here's the thing. When something annoys you or you're angry or upset about something, just hesitate. Take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Folks, do not react. Think about how often as humans throughout our lives, we've reacted without pausing, hesitating, taking a moment to cool down.
Mm-hmm.
Think about all the different options that are presented to you, whatever situation that is.
And
I'll tell you, with a cool down period, you'll make the right choice because what's the rush?
Exactly. Well, part of it also is your actions end up causing other people to react to you one way, good or bad. If you have children with you, you're setting an example. And if you set the wrong example by blowing up at a group of old ladies who won't move, that sets a bad example for your kids and stuff and for other people's kids. You might be unknowingly setting an example for other people. How you react and how you handle a situation like that can rub off on other people.
I'm trying to slow things down in life. I try to walk slower, talk less, chew my food slower. I'm just trying to just slow it down. I'm just saying, trying to slow it down.
You know what that means? That means you're becoming aware of your life. And that also means because you're starting to maybe come to the realization that you're not going to be here forever. When you're 20, man, you're in a rush. When you're 30, you got things to do. When you start to get to be 45, 50, 55, 60, you start going, whoa, I might not be around a whole lot longer. I got to slow this down a little bit. I got to slow life down.
It's a valid point. But but again, if how often in your life, Craig Russell from The Morning Hustle, have you said something because you can't take back, what's the saying?
No,
you can't take back the spoken word.
Nope.
Once it's out, it's out.
Yep.
If you just stop, especially, look, we all know ourselves. No one knows us better than us.
You would think.
Even what you're thinking all the time, what you're feeling, how angry we get, how upset we get with kids, with friends, with loved ones, with coworkers, just don't say it. Look, I've had to learn that myself.
Mm-hmm.
You're about to say something. Don't. But then there's sometimes, look, and I'm a fired up guy.
Uh-huh, I know you are.
I'm calculated. If
Every
I'm in a situation out and about and someone's doing something wrong and I'm involved in it, I'll respectfully say something. I'm going to call them out, but I'll say it nicely. And like, let's say, for instance, the service is just horrible. I'll still leave a great tip, but in a very nice inflection tone of voice, I'll say something to the waitress because look, if you're that miserable, why'd you come to work? I won't say that, but that's what I'm thinking.
But if you don't say something, they might not ever know. And if they don't ever know, you can't ever help them.
Here's what I would say. I would say, you know, I used to be a waiter, which I was. I'm going to give you a great tip, but you're not having a good day, are you? Because you could tell.
And here's some people just need to know that someone else acknowledges they're not having a good day because they might not realize that they're showing it so much.
I'm going to provide the listeners. We are a law show. And we have a lot to get to. In fact, when we come back from break here in a moment, after word from our great sponsors, we're going to talk about some of these new regulations that are put forth by the state of Michigan and Lara and so on and so forth. But here's some great advice. This is a Dale Carnegie moment. Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Sure.
Great book written like in the 1930s. How to Win Friends and Influence People. If somebody approaches you and says, yeah, you know, I feel tired. I feel tired today. Craig Russell, what would you say to that person?
You don't look it.
Exactly.
You don't
when
look
somebody
it.
Tells me, you know, Todd, I feel tired today. I'll say, and then if they look miserable, which a lot of times they do, I'll say, no, you look great today.
Yep.
I don't like when people tell me I look tired. Like, don't tell me I look tired.
Does anybody ever tell you you look tired?
Because, no, once in a while, has anyone ever told you, Craig, you look tired? Like,
oh, yeah.
Okay, but when someone has told me that, I don't feel tired.
Yeah, that's
so now they're telling me you look like crap.
Get you going.
Yeah. Hey, we got some law to get to when we come back from break right here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. We're playing Tom Petty throughout the entire show. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Coming back strong, folks, once again with Tom Petty, The Waiting. That's one of my all-time favorite Tom Petty songs, and we're dedicating this show to the memory of Tom Petty. What a great performer. We grew up with him, Craig.
40 years. You know, he actually gave, like, Lenny Kravitz a start. He gave a lot of people their start. A lot of people learned a lot. Tom Petty influenced a lot of people. John Mayer. A lot of different people got influences from Tom Petty. He was a giant.
Yeah, he absolutely was. During break, you said something regarding Facebook. What was that?
Well, you were talking about how you need to stop before you say things to people in public just because, and that also really, really resonates with social media. The best posts you can ever make on Facebook or Twitter sometimes are the ones you never actually hit send on. I've written so many scathing things and stuff, and then I just hit delete because it's just not worth it.
I don't get involved.
Just not worth it.
Can I tell you something? I don't get involved. I post this show and then fraternity stuff with my fraternity brothers and racing stuff. That's about it.
Yep.
Hey, by the way, Lara released an advisory bulletin a couple weeks back regarding stacking of Class C grower licenses in the state of Michigan.
What does that have to do with?
Under the Michigan Medical Facilities Licensing Act, which individuals and corporations can apply beginning December 15th for those licenses. The question has been, when you're applying for Class A, B, or C, A being 500 plants, a grow operation, B, 1,000, C, 1,500.
Okay.
Will the state grant more than one Class C license? So you have these big companies. By the way, folks, as it's starting to turn out, big groups, big money has just poured into Michigan.
Yep.
And we all knew it was coming. It's happened all over the country.
There'll be more of it.
There'll be a lot of opportunities, though, for a lot of people. Now, I'm happy about that. And a lot of medicine for people.
Yep.
But the state of Michigan, Lara, released an advisory bulletin September 28th, a couple weeks ago. And this is for advisory purposes only, and it's subject to change. It is the intent of the Bureau of Medical Marijuana Regulation to allow a potential licensee to apply for and be granted multiple, quotes, stacked Class C grow licenses in a single location. Each Class C license, by the way, authorizes, as I said, the grower to grow up to 1,500 plants. Stacked licenses must be issued to the same applicant licensee, and each license will be subject to an additional application, here comes the money, and regulatory assessment. And also, the stacked licensee will need to identify and track all information in a statewide monitoring system under the appropriate license. The licensee will not be required to operate each license in a separate, distinct working area, and a licensee with stacked licenses must be in compliance with all applicable local ordinances and zoning laws. You have these big companies coming in. You have a lot of local people who have teamed up with other people who have money.
Right.
So now what this is saying is, look, you can now apply for two Class C licenses, and you can grow 3,000 plants.
Could you apply for 50 Class C licenses and grow how many ever thousand plants that would be if you really want to up the... Could you do that? Is there any limit?
There's
to
no
it?
Limit, but wow. I mean, how are you going to, what are you going to, you got to have the brick and mortars. I mean, everybody wants to grow.
Right.
Where's the brick and mortars? And here's the other thing. Let me just make this clear. You know, there's great things are happening in the state of Michigan. I'm an advocate. It's quite obvious if you listen to this show.
Right.
I'm all for ending federal prohibition on cannabis, hemp, CBDs, everything. I'm not going to get into all that because I'll get fired up right now. But things are moving in the right direction. Next year, you have to be a cardholder in order to walk into a provisioning center.
Right.
All these growers have to have brick and mortars to sell their product. But there's still only so many cardholders in the state of Michigan until it goes wreck.
But you know, and here's
my point is, if you have a dispensary in a very small community tucked away somewhere, with a very small population and no traffic, no veins where people are traveling to the north, to the south, east, or west, you know, don't expect to make all kinds of money. In fact, I don't think people should be doing it for the money in the first place, and which we know, this is America. I mean, let's not fool ourselves.
Yeah.
We work to make money.
Yeah,
we're capitalists.
Money makes the world go around.
But I've met a lot of good men and women who are doing it to help people.
Sure.
And there's nothing wrong with making money if you help people.
Exactly.
Because I'm more on the CBD, cannabinoid, holistic side of things personally.
I'm going to throw a couple of things out at you. First place, have you ever heard of a little company called Amazon?
No, of course.
Yeah, of course you have. Amazon is buying one of the old malls in Detroit, and they're going to use that as one of their second headquarters.
Is it Northland?
I think so.
Off 8 Mile.
That whole mall is empty. They're going to buy that, and that's going to be that they're going to like pump like $50 billion into
that's
the economy.
Nuts. That's huge. Crazy.
But that's the thing. There are a bunch of these dead shopping centers and malls. Don't think that some of these cannabis companies, these companies that want to start growing, you want to talk about brick and mortar. What about an old 300,000 square foot mall? You could grow a lot of plants in that. Secondly, you remember the TV show MASH?
Of course.
There was an episode where Trapper and Hawkeye.
Radar.
Trapper and Hawkeye are going to go to R&R in Tokyo. Radar comes walking in, and just before they leave, they're getting a shipment of plasma. And every time they get a shipment of plasma, that means they're getting a shipment of wounded. They can kind of predict it. Same thing. If all these cannabis companies are coming in and they're bringing their money in, they're not coming in bringing their money in for no reason. They must know something ahead of time. They must know that there's a better than average chance it's going to go wreck or something like that's going to happen.
I'm excited about the economy of the small townships,
right,
and municipalities and communities that have been proactive and have opted in to the Michigan Facilities Licensing Act and the other portions of the law and are taking advantage of it, not only for their local citizens and patients, but just the economy, because it's already here. It's coming.
Mm-hmm.
But here's another update from Lara. Here's another question. And this has been one that I often get. You know, can I apply for a grower's license, a processor, and a provisioning center all at the same time? Well, the state of Michigan released an advisory bulletin to inform and advise prospective medical marijuana licensees regarding co-location of medical marijuana facilities. Again, these bulletins, as the previous one, are for advisory purposes only and are subject to change. So, folks, if you're just tuning in, I was talking about stacking of Class C licenses. That's subject to change. It's an advisory bulletin to recommend that the state adopt those regulations, which is good news.
Sure.
So the Bureau of Medical Marijuana Regulation intends to allow for co-location in a single facility. That's great. So what I'm saying is a potential licensee may apply for and be granted a grower, processing, and provisioning license so that they can all be in one location under one roof. It doesn't make any sense if you're a grower to have a processing facility
10 miles away.
10 miles away.
Right. Then you have to transport it.
Because if you're growing and processing, you have to have a brick and mortar to sell your product. And now you could have a nice storefront.
Yep.
And in the back, you can have, and this is good for, again, this is good for the economy, mm-hmm, because local businesses, local communities, the tax structure of these communities, there's going to be more taxes, more people employed. It's just better that way, and it's a lot safer. So that's a good thing. But again, subject to change. It's just an advisory bulletin, but I like the co-location and I like the stacking of licenses. That's a good thing.
Well, and all of this becomes from a good point too. This is all going to be regulated. This is all going to be, there's not going to be any wild cards.
Well, that's what we're talking about. Yeah, those are regulations.
These regulations,
potential.
This is going to help the legitimacy of medicinal marijuana in the state of Michigan and going to help the legitimacy of going rec in 2018. It's just going to be when it's regulated like this, when it's safe, when it's easy for people who can get it to get it. You're not causing a lot of problems. I mean, it's just got a lot of wins all around.
Yeah, some more information.
Okay,
you ready for this one?
Sure.
Northern Michigan University, great university up in Marquette,
right,
is now offering a class regarding processing and growing and cultivating cannabis. Yeah.
Really?
How proactive is Northern Michigan? I'm waiting for Michigan State, MSU. I'm an alum of their law school, aka Detroit College of Law. They're a huge, started as an agricultural school?
Yep.
I love MSU. Go Won't Blue, by the way, baby, right there. Fist pump, you. Go Blue, fire up chips. Look at you. Gotta love it.
Look at you.
Well, Michigan State game. I'm not going to get into the game, but I'm just going to say, go Blue. Okay. But I'm also an alum of.
I know.
Yeah, no, let's not get into it.
It's a win-win for you either way.
So. It's a win-win. Where's Michigan State?
Yep.
CMU, fire up chips. I believe they have a beer.
That's exactly.
So what's the difference?
Well, that's what I was going to say. You know, we've talked about this before on this show. You're talking about how there's going to be big companies and big corporations and a lot of big money that are going to come into this. But you also want to make sure in the small communities, the people who have been growing and the people who have been processing, they're not going to be these big corporations. They're going to be small hometown people. You want to make sure that they're going to stick to.
Those small town people are going to be pushed out.
Well, but
my point is the small town people, I'm telling you this because I'm on the front lines. I feel that the state is going to require such large application fees and that you have to have a certain amount of money in the bank when you're applying for a license, that some of these small town people aren't going to have the opportunity that have been on the front lines of supporting and supplying medicine to all the locals.
But I think it's a lot like the craft beer industry in the state of Michigan. There are big craft beer companies, Founders,
Shorts, Bells,
all these, but there's also, you go to little towns, there's little processors. There's little people who do make craft beer and they all survive and they all coexist. And I think that'll be the same thing. Yes, there's going to probably be some big money that might go into some of these small things because you know what? Even Anheuser-Busch owns small quote unquote craft breweries and they're the biggest beer company in the world. Yet they all coexist.
Right.
Because the need is there.
Hey, by the way, I want to welcome a new sponsor to the show.
Yeah.
Brand new sponsor. My buddy, Angelo, New Millennium Pawn Shop right here in Mount Pleasant. The new Millennium Pawn Shop. If you're heading north on 127, get off of the casino exit and head slightly to the west, and he's right there on the north side of the street.
Okay.
So and it's hunting season. He's got 50 bows in stock.
Oh wow.
He's got 100 long rifles in stock with 22s, 30-30. He's got everything over there. So and he does pay the highest prices on gold and diamonds. They take RVs and cars. Angelo over at the New Millennium Pawn Shop. Welcome to the Todd Levitt Law Show. Great family, great business.
Awesome.
Definitely if you have something, especially during hunting season, you got to check out their bows. I was in there the other day, so definitely a New Millennium Pawn Shop. And I'm also going to be calling. I need some new windows.
Okay.
So thank God we have a sponsor, Clear Vision Windows.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. They do roofing and attic installation.
I'm going to need them to come to my house. Get rid of the squirrel in there and seal up my house.
Yeah, you had just a squirrel saying. Issue. It drowned in your toilet, didn't it?
A flying squirrel that drowned in my toilet.
Yeah, I heard that story in the morning last week.
That's sad.
Oh, little squirrel was trying to. How the heck did it get in your bathroom in the first place?
Well, it got.
What are you growing in
there? It got in my house, and I think he was looking for food or water or something because he was in my tub.
Because downstairs you have neighbors who have those little creatures from down south. What are they called?
No,
I listen to the show.
They're sugar gliders, don't have those. It was the same flying squirrel. They called it a sugar glider because they didn't know, but it was the same flying squirrel. I found out later it wasn't their pet. They had the same squirrel plugged in their house, and then he came up to my house. So, yeah, but he's gone.
You know what? You need to call Clear Vision Windows. They're a great sponsor. That's who I call when I need windows. Installation.
Seal up the windows, seal up my house.
Yeah, roofing. Yeah. I mean, definitely Clear Vision Windows. But, hey, we have to go to break. We have a lot of law to get to. When we come back from break, Craig, we're going to talk about whether or not it's a good idea that the state passes a law privatizing police forces. And we have to get to that issue regarding whether a mother giving birth who tests positive for THC, but she's a cardholder, what's the ramifications to the child, Child Protective Services, the law, prosecution?
A lot of law going on.
We're talking a lot of law on a Title 11 Law Show. We have to talk about your flying squirrel. Yeah, when we come back, let's go to break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. If you're just tuning in for the first time, we come to you each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. We're Craig.
On 98.5 UPS in Central and Northern Michigan in the Tri-Cities. And on Rock 105 and 95.5, we just rock Traverse City, Sheboygan, you know it, up north. And podcasting worldwide.
Okay, we are gaining new subscribers all the time. If you go to the App Store,
okay,
download, it's called the Podcast App.
Yes.
Right on your phone. Universal.
It's a great way if you want to listen to other podcasts. A
lot of great podcasts. Just type in Todd L. Levitt and subscribe to the show, because this show that you're listening to, when we upload it, it'll just notify you that it's now uploaded and you can listen to the show.
Ready to go. Soundbean, SoundCloud, Podbean.
Podbean.com.
SoundCloud, Google Play. What's the other one?
You can catch it. Also, the shows are on my website at centralmichiganlawyer.com. Okay. centralmichiganlawyer.com as well.
And if you have any questions, get a hold of you. If they
anything with the show, they can contact us right through. Big shout out, by the way, to a good friend and friend of the show, Robert Humphrey.
Oh, okay.
So I want to give a big shout out to the Humphrey family.
Hi, Bob.
From Claire. Great family.
Awesome.
Known them a long time.
Awesome.
And the Mortensons out from Macosta.
Okay.
Great family.
Awesome.
No, trust me. Great family.
Good.
By the way, we're going to talk about this private police force in a moment. Right. But Dr. Bob from Denali Healthcare.
Yeah.
Great sponsor of the show. Yep. He's done so much for the advocacy in regards to medicine and helping people with pain issues. Dr. Bob will be coming back on the show. We had a great conversation because he's always answering questions for me.
Sure.
So we appreciate Dr. Bob's sponsorship, Denali Healthcare. He goes to Marquette. During the week, he's at different locations. So just look it up, listen to the show.
Right.
And then I also hear some power sports. It's time to, if you need your sled worked on
Get
or your boat
now.
For the winter,
now
winterize, here's some power sports. Emerson and Sean, they do a great job up there in Harrison, but they service a wide range of areas at Harrison Power Sports. And also Chad Malley, Well Drilling, another great sponsor. Chad's a good friend of the show and a good friend for all your well drilling needs. Chad Malley.
There you go.
The best well drill. And then finally, Clark Modular Homes, right on M20 between Mount Pleasant and Midland. I've often stopped off, looked at their modulars. I won't go anywhere else. And I've recommended a lot of people to check out Clark Modular Homes.
There you go. Covering all the bases.
Yeah, and if you're listening to the show and you're listening on Rock 105 95.5, yes, we will accept you as a sponsor. If you think your business is a fit for what we talk about, contact the station. let us know. We will fit you into the rotation. Yep. You'll get mentioned on the show. There's all kind of benefits to advertising on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Get a lot of Todd love, too.
A lot of Todd love. Yeah. Hey, so what do you think? We have a Senate bill, 594. This just took place. The Senate Majority Leader introduced it September 27th, and this piece of legislation...
It's Meekoff, right?
Yeah, to create a private police force. And these private law enforcement entities, Craig, personnel, can be hired by governments. What do you think about that?
What would be the reason for that? Why would you want to hire a private police force or a private law enforcement? That doesn't make any sense. Why wouldn't you hire the local community, sheriff's department, the local state police, the local police department if you needed them for something?
The Police Officer Association of Michigan, which I support, POEM.
Right.
We're big supporters of law enforcement.
Well, sure we are.
You know, they put their lives on, men and women put their lives at risk every day.
Uh-huh.
First responders.
Yeah.
Everybody. We appreciate you so much.
You have no idea.
I do not like this bill.
Now, what do they think?
I feel the safety of the public will be at risk. I so much appreciate the training and the history and the organization that law enforcement has within their local communities and the leadership in these law enforcement agencies and the hierarchy. If you start bringing in these private agencies, there could be... Who are you hiring?
Well, yeah. And if you know?
Okay, I read the bill. Trust me, we do not want this bill passed. Now, there's a lot of military men and women out there.
Sure.
And they do hire their services to security companies.
Yep.
I love veterans. We love veterans.
Yeah, exactly.
Hands down.
Yep.
I feel very safe when there's veterans around.
They got the greatest training in the world. They fought for our country. They put their lives on the line for our freedom. But that would be the
I would
person.
Like to see more, and I'm sure this already takes place because we don't know, we're not in the loop.
Right.
I would like to see veterans, military men and women have an opportunity to go through the police academies, like special programs. Maybe they already exist.
Yeah,
we need
sure
a chief
do.
Of police on here.
Yeah, we do.
Dwayne Mijanowski, great guy from Clare County.
Okay.
Love Midge. He was on a show a couple years back. We got to get Midge back on the show.
Okay.
But anybody else, if you're a law enforcement officer, chief of police, you know, we got Sheriff Maine here. We got a lot of great leaders in Michigan and North. If you want to come on the show, just give me a call at my office, 989-772-6000. I'm against this bill.
What about the police? The
Police Officers Association of Michigan.
Now, what do they think about this?
No, they're against it.
Oh, I know. What would you? I mean, that's exactly.
They
what
feel that privatization of police services will remove accountability of government agencies. They feel that police officers will become hired outlaws, mercenaries. Private police agencies will become a hiring ground for police officers who have been fired from governmental police agencies for whatever reason, and they feel that the safety of the public will be at risk. Of course, if you know, this is the Police Officers Association of Michigan,
sure,
so they're looking out for the members.
Yeah, this is their livelihood.
But as
right
a citizen,
here.
I'm with Police Officers Association of Michigan, and I want to find out if there's programs out there where they're aggressively seeking to hire qualified veterans who are.
I would think.
I hope so.
Why would you not?
I mean, God, I hope so.
That is just that. Right there is just an automatic job force ready to go. They've got great training. They've probably been through more things than police officers ever could get in. You know, if you're on the front lines in Afghanistan or someplace like that. That's training. That's invaluable.
Even if you're not on the front lines, I know men and women who are in the Marines, in the Air Force. They have such great training.
Yeah.
Senate Bill 594. Are you for it? Are you against it?
Totally against
it. I'm totally against it.
Totally against it.
But again, but there's men and women who do work in the private sector who were former military veterans, who work security at stadiums, hospitals.
Sure.
Very qualified. They do a great job. I'm not completely against some areas of our society where you can have a private armed presence.
Yeah, presence, okay, yep.
But I'm not for my local community, the state police. I mean, these organizations do a great job. They've been around a long time. No.
Does that really say anything about why they would want to do this? Is it a money-saving deal? Is it, I mean...
Send a majority leader. Give him a call.
Yeah.
Ask him.
Call his office and say, why would you want to... What's the rationale for sponsoring this? Why wouldn't you want the local person, man, woman, who's in our community, whose kids play Little League, who they coach the team, they're at football games at the high school, and they get to know you? That's how successful police presence happens. You're ingrained in the community. You know people. you know.
But there's accountability.
Yeah.
But we'd like to think there's accountability, but there is accountability. And again, there's a hierarchy that's already in place. There's attached to the local government officials. There's also relationships. Here's something that you need to think about. Law enforcement in every community around the country has close relations with the county prosecutors.
Sure,
there's relationships that have been built for decades with the judges, with the prosecutors, with the defense attorneys. I'm a defense attorney. I go up against law enforcement officers all the time. I have nothing but respect. We respect one another.
Sure, you're doing your job.
Because we're both doing our jobs.
Right.
And I have truly met some amazing men and women who wear that uniform.
I don't understand. I don't know why.
Yeah. And folks, I say this all the time. You ready for this?
Okay.
If you wake up every day and make sure you're doing the right thing, and if you're doing, if you make good choices, then you got nothing to worry about.
Exactly.
There you go. But I acknowledge, though, that we've all made bad choices.
Sure.
I am no
angel. We're human.
Trust me. When I was growing up, I was no angel, so I don't judge anybody.
Right.
I mean, I had to learn to make better choices, so it took me a while also. But that's what I live by. You got to wake up every day and say, you know what? Today, I'm going to make good choices.
Is this a Senate vote that they're going to have, or is this going to be on the is this going to actually be on the ballot next year?
It's still, they're probably still going to go through committees, and it's not something that goes on the ballot. It's something that goes through the committees. It's introduced, and then the governor decides whether or not he wants to sign it. But if there's enough pressure put out there against this type of bill, then it will just fall flat. Because bills got to go to the House, the Senate, back and forth. They got committees. They have amendments, and there's people working on it. And if there's not enough votes and there's so much public pressure against it, then it goes flat. I mean, look what's happening with healthcare in this country.
Yeah, boy, I really hope
I'm hoping that changes soon. Please, I pay it too much.
I really hope that our senators and our elected officials take a look at this and see what this is on its own for what it's worth. And vote no, because, man, this is the one line on this. There's no prohibition against eliminating an existing public police force, and they would be awarded full arrest powers on duty.
See, that's where there's
crazy.
No way.
Why would you want to do that?
Think about this. How about conflict with other law enforcement agencies and the feds? Because local law enforcement has relationships with the FBI, with other agencies in the federal government that have been
the
there
DNR,
for decades, but these have been around for decades. Yeah. You take that away, and then it's going to look. And again, I'm not saying that there's not qualified men and women or good companies out there that provide these private services to various industries.
Sure.
And they do a great job. We're just talking about to our local government personally.
Right. Exactly.
So that's how I feel about
it's crazy.
It.
Crazy.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
Just my opinion. But hey, we have to go to break, and we still have a huge topic to get to.
Yes.
In regards to the THC, the mother giving birth. She's a cardholder. Does Child Protective Services come in? This question comes to us from one of our biggest fans, Joan.
Hi, Joan.
Say hello, Joan.
Hello, Joan.
Hello.
How you doing, Joan?
Are you talking to me, or are you really talking to Joan? Because you looked at me and winked. What was the wink about?
Talking to Joan.
We better go to break right now.
Like this time.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Coming back once again with Tom Petty, The Waiting, Craig. I love that song. So too, sad.
Too soon, too young. He was only 66.
Do you know how that song starts off? You know, a lot of these songs, you don't, you think you know the words to them, but you really don't.
Oh, yeah.
How do you know that song, the words to that song? Oh, baby, don't it feel like heaven right now? Don't it feel like something from a dream? I'm not even, I can't sing. Why do I even?
Who sings that song?
Tom Petty.
Let's keep it that way.
You're right. Hey, hey, we have some law to get to, but yes. I want, before we do so,
okay.
I bought a new mountain bike.
Yes, you did.
I went from the fat bike. I bought a Salsa. I bought a Salsa. You ready for this?
Okay.
Big shout out. If you want a bike, check out salsa.com.
Okay.
Okay. I bought a carbon fiber Salsa. I went, so I raced it last week.
Okay.
At the Clarabella. There's a new race called the Clarabella.
Okay.
Great race. It took place in Clare and Isabella County. I actually took eighth place.
Wow.
Yeah, how about that?
Look at you.
Yeah, but you know what? It was the bike that really added to it. Heart of the Lakes is a nonprofit organization. Check out Heart of the Lakes. Heart of the Lakes, Salsa. There was some great race bike shop. Big sponsors out there. But a big shout out to Terry's Bike Shop, Motorless Motion, Einstein's, and Ray's. I support our local, but there's a lot more that I'm not mentioning.
Can I say what you posted?
Harborside.
Can I say what you posted on Facebook about that bike?
Sure.
Bike's your new girlfriend?
You got it.
Oh, man.
How sweet is that bike?
That's crazy.
It's carbon fiber.
It's crazy. So it's light. It's super light.
It is so, I'm not going to tell you how much it cost, but that Salsa was worth it.
Totally worth it.
All right, we got some law to get to.
Well, and I got one other thing to get to. A friend of mine off of Twitter, her name's Randy Bagley. She's a big advocate. She posted a thing. If you want to find her on Twitter, Randy Bags is her handle on Twitter.
Randy Bags?
Randy Bags, R-A-N-D-I-B-A-G-S on Twitter. She posted a really interesting link. There's a link that'll tell you if your medical marijuana dispensary is getting ready to close. You know how they all have to be closed by December 15th. She's got a link on her Twitter page you can go to, and you can see when your dispensary in your local area is getting ready to close, so you can prepare if you need your medicine. So
that's huge.
Yeah, I think we're gonna have to try and have Randy on the show sometime. She's a big advocate.
She's welcome to come on the show.
Yes, exactly. But I thought I would pass that along in case you are someone who is listening and you want to find out when your provisioning center is closing, where you need to get your medicine, you need to get stocked up. That was the whole idea of the staggering closing to begin with, is not everybody's going to close all at once. People would wind down, so people would be able to still continue to get their medicine. But, and speaking of that, this has to do with our question from
Joan.
Yes. Joan's question is, what happens if a mother gives birth and is a legal cardholder, has THC in her system because she legally can use medical marijuana, gives birth and the baby legally has THC in their system?
So let's talk about some of, if you're just a layperson.
Okay.
What are some of your thoughts, Craig, in regards to the illegality or legality? Let's talk about the illegality.
Okay.
So the mother's card holder, she gives birth, but the child's not a card holder.
No.
Now the child has THC in its bloodstream.
Which is why I would think CPS would get involved. Maybe they wouldn't necessarily.
Child Protective Services.
Yeah. They would be involved because I think legally they have to be. Let's say a mother uses crack and she gives birth and the baby has crack in its system. Now, unfortunately, crack and marijuana are Schedule I drugs, so they're going to be treated the exact same way. It's going to be illegal. In this situation is an interesting twist because she legally can use medicinal marijuana. So you think, I would think CPS would still be involved, but I don't think there would be any criminal charges against the mother. That's just what I'm thinking.
If an infant is born positive for marijuana,
okay,
and an employee of Child Protective Services has confirmed that the mother has a valid medical marijuana card,
okay,
the worker must determine the parent's ability to safely care for the child, including the siblings. So did you hear that? Okay. So if the infant is born positive, before CPS takes any aggressive action, they first have to confirm that the mother does have a valid medical marijuana card. And this is the state of Michigan we're talking about.
Right.
And can, and the ability to be a parent.
and care for the other siblings. Now, a preponderance of the evidence must be found if there are medical findings that the infant has alcohol, a controlled substance, or a metabolite of a controlled substance in his or her body, which are not due to medical treatment. Must be found if there are medical findings that the infant has alcohol, a controlled substance, or a metabolite of a controlled substance in his or her body, which are not due to medical treatment the infant or mother received. So did you see what I just said? A preponderance of evidence. So
right.
Complaints must be confirmed if a medical opinion confirms that the infant suffers from the effects of drug exposure, which are not due to medical treatment the infant or the mother received. So bottom line is, if there are controlled substances found in this infant, is it due to medical treatment? Medical treatment meaning medical marijuana card and or medical assisted treatment, such as methadone maintenance.
Right.
They're both considered medical treatment. So CPS must evaluate the caregiver's ability, the mother, to safely care for her child while they're going through medical treatment. So does that make sense?
It does. So in other words,
the bottom line is
this is probably a lot different than what it used to be. You probably 20, 30 years ago, if you found THC in the baby and the mother, boom, there's trouble. Times have changed.
In order for Child Protective Services to take action in regards to bringing a case in probate court against the mother, like terminating parental rights,
right.
That's one of them.
Right.
If in fact they can prove a preponderance of evidence, which is quality or fact of being greater in number. I mean, preponderance it's a high threshold.
Right.
So it's a superiority, excess. It's just a preponderance. It's hard to, it's just a big term.
Right.
Something in superiority, in weight, in power. It's a high threshold under the law to meet. So if the CPS worker can prove that there are medical findings, okay, that were not due to normal medical treatment, then a case is going to be brought forth.
Sure.
So does that make sense?
That does make sense.
So normal medical treatment, methadone, medical marijuana card, that's normal treatment.
Right.
If there's other types of substances found in the baby's blood, and a preponderance of evidence can be proven and found, now there's issues.
Now, do they do a lot?
I hope I explained. Did I explain?
Because yeah, no,
I'm not.
Does.
I don't dabble. First of all, folks, I don't handle these type of cases. This was a
right.
question that came in.
Yep.
I got this information, by the way, from the CPS manual.
Oh, okay.
So you could look it up online.
Okay. But here's the thing. You know, I've had kids. I've been a parent. I don't really remember. Anybody getting a drug test? I mean, do they routinely drug test? I mean, because how would you know there's THC in your system unless you had there was a blood test and a drug test? Do they do that routinely when women go in to give birth?
I'm not an OBGY, but I mean, I'm experienced. I can check, but
yeah.
I'm just not.
Yeah, I don't
you like that.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, it went right over your head.
No, I got it.
Are you sure? I saw that on a T-shirt in Key West once. But I haven't been around the birth process in a long time.
Neither have I.
I'm just gonna take a shot at this. Of course they're taking the mother's blood and the baby's blood.
Well, yeah, they take the blood, but do they do a specific blood test to see if there's THC or something in the system?
I have no idea. That's a great question.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm saying that
Dr. Bob would know.
Well, maybe we'll have to ask him.
And he's probably, we got to ask Dr. Bob. He'll be on the show.
Yeah.
We should probably ask an OBGYN.
Yeah, I would think. Or somebody who works in a NICU or in a hospital, in a birthing center in a hospital, because they're the ones in the front lines who actually do this. But
so I guess if you're a card holder, you're giving birth, you're okay as long as you're a fit parent.
Right.
And as long as there's no other substances found in your baby's bloodstream.
There we go.
Okay.
Yep.
Then you're going to be okay. But look, mothers out there. Okay. I'm just going to say it. It upsets me when I see a pregnant woman smoking cigarettes and drinking alcohol.
Agreed.
Okay. Uh-huh. It's very, very disturbing. And I've heard mothers say to me, and again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical expert.
You don't even play one on the radio.
No, I don't know if it harms a baby but you'll hear these mothers say, well, my doctor said that smoking is not going to affect the baby. Drinking alcohol while giving birth is not going to affect the baby. I think there's been plenty of studies that say otherwise.
I've never heard a doctor ever say that.
Yeah,
I've heard
mothers who have caught in the act.
I've never heard the doctor say that. You hear mothers say
pregnant mothers smoking. That bothers me.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. We probably have listeners out there who are pregnant right now, smoking.
But
don't.
Yeah.
Give the baby a shot.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's not good at all. Hey, what a huge show.
Big show.
No, huge show.
This show is jam-packed with law. The doors are ready to burst.
No, we've had a huge show.
Actually, my bladder's ready to burst.
Your bladder's ready to burst.
Yeah, I've been sitting here for an hour.
Free the pee, Craig Russell.
No kidding.
Free the pee.
No kidding.
What are you doing all day?
Cleaning my toilet after the squirrel drowned in it.
Oh, yeah. You know what I'm doing?
What's that?
Two things. One, I'm going to shred the gnar with Big Hair, Chris,
Jeron,
right on. A couple of my buddies, Andy. We're going to go shred the gnar on a single track somewhere, my new carbon fiber salsa.
Okay.
Then I'm going to go home and make sure there's no spiders in the shower. I had a spider that was ready to give birth just, you know, in the shower last week, and it kind of took me for a loop because, you know, I'm in the shower, I'm looking around, and all of a sudden I see this thing start to crawl down in front of me, and I usually save spiders because they serve a purpose. But this spider, no. This spider went the way of your squirrel.
I walked into the bathroom at 1:30 in the morning, and there's the squirrel in the tub.
I'd rather have a spider than a squirrel. We talked earlier in the show about the squirrel in Craig's tub. Yeah.
All I know is I blocked the squirrel in the bathroom and didn't go back in the bathroom for like 12 hours. My landlord went in, was going to open up the screen of the window and let the squirrel out, and he looked in and saw the squirrel.
I'm
guessing that squirrel maybe like jumped into the, trying to get water, maybe thought that was a way to escape.
Craig, how does this, there's all kinds of ways critters can get into your house.
Yeah.
But you need to call Clear Vision Windows and tell your landlord to.
Yeah, no kidding.
How do you have squirrels in your house?
Well, there was holes in the chimney.
Plug the hole.
Yeah. Well, that's what they did. And the squirrel, I think, was still trapped in the
house. Make sure there's enough room for Santa to come down.
Well, yeah.
Hey, a week from today, guess what? It will be Central Michigan University's homecoming weekend.
That's right.
All my fraternity brothers, Sig Ups, are coming to town.
So a week from yesterday will be the homecoming game?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's the weekend.
The weekend.
Right on.
Craig, that's it.
Show's over.
We got to go.
All right, there you go.
We're going to have Tom Petty take us out.
You know it.
I'm not just a litigator. Take us out, Tom Petty, Craig Russell. Rest in peace. I'm an advocator.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show, brought to you by Chad Malley Well Drilling of Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder of Mount Pleasant, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's fastest growing full-line Arctic Cat dealer, Dr. Robert Townsend and Denali Healthcare for your alternative healthcare needs, Clear Vision Windows, Siding, Roofing, and Attic Insulation of Midland, offering free estimates and easy financing, and New Millennium Pawn Shop in Mount Pleasant, paying top dollar for gold and silver.
Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.